Good evening. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your incredible word, Psalm 119, all about your word, we pray that you would bless us in a very unique and a way that prospers us, that helps us to know and to understand and make us good students of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're on verse 47. I was talking last week and I said there was 8 synonyms for the word of God. Well, they're not quite synonyms. They mean slightly different things, and I promised that this week would go over that. I didn't want to get too bogged down last week because we were just starting off, but the words are, the English word is, depending on what translation you have, the English words are, like the first one is ways, and it's, the Hebrew word is debar. The book of Deuteronomy is devarim, or some say devarim, and it means words. Now these are the words. It's what the Hebrew people call the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy starts off with the phrase, now these are the words. Or in other words, devarim. So devarim means anything that comes from his mouth. The second almost synonym is testimonies. The Hebrew word is edat. And it means to bear witness. We testimony, witness, right? You'd kind of almost figure that out anyway. The third word that we want to look at is in the English is statutes. Hakim means to inscribe, something he holds all mankind to. And when it says the word, the Hebrew word is emrah. Its root means its root word means to promise. It refers to anything God votes to do, how he judges, or how he rewards. Then we see the word judgments. The Hebrew word is mishpatim, and it means that which is legally binding. Commandments is another word we see. Mitzvot is the Hebrew word. It refers to truth, or something taught to mankind. Precepts. The Hebrew word is pikwadim. A precept is that aspect of truth that refers to anything God has covenanted with mankind over. And then finally, we have the word law. Now, when we say law, you know, we always say, hey, we're New Testament Christians, we don't do law, you know. The word is Torah. And you think, oh, yeah, I've heard of Torah. I don't know, but isn't that like, you know, we got to eat this and you can't eat that? Torah means instruction, okay? So don't hate instruction. Don't hate Torah. Now, those are the 8 words, the phrases that are used, the words that are used throughout this word, this whole passage here. So we're in verse 57. We finished verse 56. Last week, and we're starting with the letter chet. I can't even say it. Hate. It's my wife said that's chet. Hate means, like, you ever see the word Hanukkah with a C in front of it? Ch sound. We don't have that in English unless you have a bad cold and you're trying to clear your throat. But if you're speaking Hebrew with somebody, you're spitting on their shoes the whole time with that ch sound. So the letter is hate. Okay, let's start off. Verse 57. All the words here, all the verses, will start with that letter. Of course, in Hebrew, and it doesn't translate out to English. One, we don't have that sound, so no words in English start with that. But in Hebrew, these 8 verses all start with the letter chet. I hear it chet and hate. So anyway, choose your whatever you think is right. Okay, verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. Lord, I have said that I would keep thy words. I treated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Now, when we're looking at the word of God, we look at, you know, words like, look at verse 55. I remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and I have kept thy law. And it sounds like a bunch of, oh, I've got to keep his law and his commandments and his precepts. Wait a second. He's God. He's Abba. I have entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. His word isn't just a bunch of do's and don'ts. Now, non-Christians believe that. God forbid that the family of God should believe that. Oh yeah, he has principles in it. He has precepts, he has commandments, he has testimonies. But when you look at it all, it's just different ways of letting us know how much he loves us. And he does set boundaries. I've always believed in that. But that just means, you know, hey, don't go outside these boundaries. Bad things will happen. Choose to sin, choose to suffer. We've been there before, right? Okay. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Is mercy according to his word? Well, of course it is. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Would to God that we all came to that place. We looked at our ways. We said, nah, ain't doing it. How about turning our feet unto thy testimonies? Or, in a word, repenting. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Excuse me. Okay, the next letter. Tet. It kind of rhymes with het. It's not really like our T, but it kind of is a little bit. It's the number 9. And by the way, I don't think I said, backtrack. Het is number 8. And the symbol is a doorway. You said, I thought Dalet was a door. Yeah, it is. This is a doorway. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the doorway that we go through to pass from death to life. So Jesus is both of those things. And by the way, this is the number 8. Here's something that's a curious fact that not many people know. All the names for Jesus add up to 8 in the New Testament. No, I shouldn't say that add up to. Are divisible by 8 with no remainder. In the New Testament, remember, Greek has a numeric value. So you find a Greek thing, see where all the numbers are, find one of the names of Jesus, and you add it all up, and you can divide it by 8 evenly with no remainder. That can't be a coincidence. 8 is the number of new beginnings. 8 indicates resurrection. I say new beginnings, you know, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. It's an octave, it's a section, and then you start off with a new key, right? If you go higher than that. There's 7 days of the week. When you hit the 8th day, which would be a Sunday again, because, you know, creation week started on Sunday, ended on the Shabbat, and then the 8th day, the day of new beginnings, would be a Sunday again. So, Tet is, it's the number 9. It's an open container. It begins like the word Tav. What's Tav? Good. You know, Boker Tov, morning good. Their word order is different from ours, right? Mazel Tov, good fortune, good luck, good, hope your life's going good, is kind of the way you say it. Okay, so letter Tet, starting in verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment, knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. We don't like being disciplined, and it's the best thing that can happen to us to make disciples of us. And this word says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Remember that about God. God is good. You say, no, God's great. God's fantastic. God's wonderful. Well, no argument. But you have to remember this. God is good as opposed to not good. What he does for you and does to you and does through you is good and for your good and for his good. God is only good. You know, Jesus is called good master, and he says there's none good except God. Now, I probably shouldn't have gone off in this direction. He's not saying he's not God. He's saying there's nobody good except God. Remember, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I have kept thy precepts in my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease. I love that, right? You know, just you think of like bacon grease is clogged on their arteries there. Their heart is, you think of drinking a glass of bacon grease. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Fat as grease in the idea of like not catching God's principles, not hearing what God has to say. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Again, there's that affliction aspect. In verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Okay, the 10th letter of the alphabet is the letter Yod. So you'll see it, like in your Bible, it might be spelled Y-O-D, and it might be spelled J-O-D, and if it's spelled J-O-D, cross it out and put a Y. This is a jot. When Jesus talks about jots and tittles, he's talking about this guy here. A jot is a yod, and it's begins a lot of word that we always have that Bible J, you know, like I said last week, you mean there's no J in the Hebrew alphabet. You mean, well, what do they do? Well, how do you spell Jerusalem? You mean Yerushalem? Well, it would start off with a yod. Well, how do you spell Jacob? You mean Yaakov? It would start off with a yod. So, by the way, jots and tittles, yods, and the tittle is a decorative hook on some of the Hebrew letters, just in case you're wondering. So yod is number 10. The symbol is a hand. Hand, but specifically right hand. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Right hand in Scripture is always a reference to salvation. Only, always. So remember last week, we looked at the pictograph of this the Yod He, Vav He. It's a Yod, that little apostrophe looking thing, a He, a Vav, and a He. It's a hand, a behold, a nail, and a behold. So God has given us his name, and we can translate it successfully into behold the hand, behold the nail. You say, well, it says hand behold, nail behold. I told you again, the word orders are different. But that's what it's saying. I tell you, I can't even make this stuff up. God says, hey, Moses, go down and tell them God is interested. I've heard their cry. I've come to rescue them. Well, who should I say sent you? Behold the hand, behold the nail sent you. Way before anyone was thinking in terms of crucifixion or anything else. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, it didn't take anyone by surprise. Certainly not God, certainly not Jesus. It's written about all through, even in the name of God. Anyway, let's go to the Yod section, starting in verse 73. Thy hands, I can't make this stuff up, right? Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. A lot of affliction going on in our study tonight. Maybe that's a word to somebody. I don't know. I always think of, affliction. It's on schedule. It's what we're going to be going through regardless. I don't really like affliction. I want my life to be, my life just to be like smooth jazz, just All good. Yeah, good luck with that. I've always said, like, a Christian could be best defined as someone going into a battle, someone coming out of a battle, or someone in the midst of a battle. Or you can use storm, or you can use affliction. It's a lot in life. We have battles, we have storms, we have tempestuous happenings. It's a fallen world. Sometimes it's what's prescribed. God takes us through a storm, through affliction. Sometimes it's self, we have self-affliction. I say, choose to sin, choose to suffer. Sometimes it's affliction because we stand for Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's affliction because we live in a fallen world. So there's a lot of different ways that we were afflicted, but it always, I know when I've had a situation or a problem, when things are in my life aren't going the way that I would prescribe them, you know, bad report from the doctor, an upset at in a relationship, or, you know, what? Anything. You know, your spouse leaves you, your dog dies, your library book's overdue, whatever it is. You know, if it's serious enough, I don't generally pray or cry out to God because I owe the library a nickel, you know what I mean? I just go pay it. I mean, whatever. When things are really going sideways in my life, what do? You pray. You draw closer to God. And so those afflictions are kind of there for us to remind us that we need God. Verse 75 again, where I kind of departed. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, or the wounds of a father. Let's look at verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. That phrase where it says in one psalm, they hated me without a cause, making reference to Jesus Christ. You also see that in the New Testament. It means with no reason at all, but God has given us eternal life without a cause. There's no, I should have looked that up before I went there, because I don't remember the phrase that I'm, where it's found, what I'm specifically referring to. But grace is without a cause, as well as hatred. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Okay. Let's look at the next letter, starting in verse 81. Kaf. And I see it spelled C-A-F-H or K-A-F. Remember, this is just the phonetic sounding of how the word is. There's no right way to spell it. I see it different ways, you know. But anyway, the one I was looking at is Kaf. Kaf is the number 20. So the first 10 letters are, you know, 1 through 10. And the 11th letter is number 20. So if you want to say 21, you have to say, you know, Kaf Aleph, or write Kaf Aleph. I don't know if it's the same spoken. And the picture is a cover. So it doesn't look like it's covering anything. Well, it's kind of over on its side. The word Kaf means the palm of our hand. Oh, no, it starts the word cover. The Kaf means the palm of a hand. The first 11 letters in the alphabet speak, as a group, speaks of our rescue. The second letters Second 11 letters speak of our race. Okay, I say it means to cover. The word kaf means to cover. It's the letter, and it's a picture of the palm of a hand, but it means to cover. And the way I remember that is God covers Moses with his kaf, his hand. You say, I thought yod meant hand. Yod means closed hand. Kaf is open hand, like you would use to cover something, okay? And also, yod specifically speaks of the right hand. Kaf just is a hand, like God covers Moses with his hand. Is that his right hand or his left? Well, if I were to guess, I'd say right, because right always speaks of salvation. But it just, for our intents and purposes, all he needs to do is be covered so he doesn't look at God and turn into a just melt, like, you know. Anyway, kaf. Okay, verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. I always love that phrase, bottle in the smoke. I have no idea what it means. I'll look it up, but I'd probably be disappointed. I know, I love it well. I don't know. How many are the days of thy servant? When will thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimonies of thy mouth. Okay, that's the kaf section. Let's go to the lamed section. It's, you know, yod is the only one. If you see a string of Hebrew letters, it's yod is the only one that doesn't touch the, like, if you're writing it on a line, like lined paper, the yod is up above it, like an apostrophe. The lamed is the only one that's above the top line. It reaches higher than the other letters. Lamed is also the number 30. The picture is that of a staff, the symbol of authority. It's not a scepter. That's the regal authority, the right to rule. If somebody has a staff, think of it like a shepherd's staff. Don't think of it like he's the king. Think of it like he's the shepherd. Which one is Jesus? Well, Jesus is both our king and our shepherd. But the staff is a symbol of authority. Lamed Mem Dalet is how you spell the word Lamed. Like, if you're spelling the letter B in English, you'd probably spell it B-E-E. Like the letter B, or C, you'd spell it C-E-E-D, it'd be D-E-E. F, you'd probably spell E-F-F. And if you spell them that way, they'll give it to you in Scrabble. All the letters have a phonetic spelling. Well, Lamed is spelled Lamed, Mem, Dalet. We already know those letters, right? L-M-D. Remember, it doesn't have any, Hebrew doesn't have any vowels whatsoever. Original Hebrew, Lamed Mem Dalet, and it's pronounced Lamad because it doesn't have any vowels, and it means to teach or to learn. Lamud means a disciple. Oh, so you're getting a picture here, right? Learning, teaching, a disciple. So that Lamed, although it's the symbol is a staff, it's the idea of like, the word, like I say, lamad, it means to teach. So let's look at the lamad section, starting in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, would to God it was settled on earth. It is, but not in the minds and the hearts of men. In heaven, there's nobody saying, Who wrote the Bible? Isn't this a bunch of men write that? I was talking to a guy a lot. I hope he hears this. I hope he hears me making fun of him. I don't really. He was saying, I don't even know what brought it up or something, because I wasn't saying, hey, everyone should read the Bible. I'm not walking around work saying that. But he said to me, like, well, who wrote the Bible? Didn't a man write the Bible? I thought, like, yeah, many men wrote the Bible. That does not make it not the Word of God. Now, picture for a second. God speaks to your heart like he spoke to the prophets of old. And he says, I got something for you to write. I want you to communicate it to everyone you know. I want you to write it in a book. The prophecy, Amos, okay? The 9 chapters, I think it is. 8 or 9 chapters. I think it's 9 chapters. So you write this. And a chapter in the Bible isn't like a chapter in a, you know, I don't know, a novel by, like, I don't know, you know, Dean Koontz or John Clancy or whoever you're reading these days, right? It's not like, you know, 20 pages that you've written a chapter. You know, a chapter in the Bible, except for this chapter, usually fits on a page. So here it is, 9 pages, and this is such a revelation. It talks about this revelation God has given you. Talks about the Savior, where he would be born, how he would die, at what time of history he would live, what songs would be sung at his funeral, that he would rise from the dead. Things that you couldn't possibly know. So you wrote this all down and you put it in a book and, hey, this is God spoke to me, etc., etc., etc.
Who wrote that? Didn't a man write that? I can't believe it.
Like, if it's the Word of God, it has to fall from heaven on a parachute, or it has to be delivered personally to every man, woman, and child in the world by an angel, and it has to come from heaven. Yeah, we know that it was written by men. God used holy men of God to write the Bible. Peter talks about they were born along, inspired. The word means born along on the breath of God. He inspired them to write exactly what they would write. Forever, his word is settled in heaven. The sooner you and I understand that this holy book is the very word of God, the very revelation, the thing God wants us to know, the better off us and everyone around us will be. It's settled in heaven. Is it settled in your mind? Is it settled in your heart? Well, I love the Word of God when he's telling me to do what I want to do anyway. You know what I really love about God? He tells us that we should love one another. And I think that's just wonderful that we love one another. He also tells us that we should abstain from sin. Well, he should mind his own business. I don't know who he thinks he is, poking his nose into my affairs. So as long as the Word of God agrees with where we're going anyway, then we're good, right? No. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Now, I know for a fact that the earth is so wobbly, it's going to just fall to pieces in any day now, okay? Elon Musk thinks that we can inhabit the Mars. He wants to get us to colonize Mars, okay? Mars, listen to what I'm saying, the red planet. It's habitable. We send people there. We colonize it. But if Mother Earth goes 2 degrees hotter, oblivion. Everything we know is going to die, and it's going to be wiped out, and there's no restoring it. We should all just commit suicide right now. We have no right being here. We're interlopers. We should never have evolved to begin with. We should have left ourselves at pond scum. Factor in the sarcasm, please. Don't write me nasty emails thinking I believe in the silliness that is Darwinian evolution. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. Period. Okay? Now, I want you to go to sleep tonight. Instead of visions of sugar plums, I want you to just worry about the annihilation of the planet. Silent spring, global warming, climate change, depletion of the ozone, everything you can imagine, just worry yourself frantic. And you get up in the morning and it will still be here. And God has established it. I don't believe in Mother Earth. I believe in Father God. And he doesn't build junk that it won't last. It does have a terminus. It's not going to last forever. Not this version of it. Everything that we know is scheduled for destruction. Big noise, fervent heat. People talk about the Big Bang. But it hasn't happened yet, okay? There's going to be a terminus. But until that day, you don't even have to worry about a little. Now, you didn't hear me say, don't worry about the planet. Should you recycle? Yes. Yes. Should we be good stewards? Yes. Should we hunt an animal group to extinction? No. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take care of the thing that God has given us and we have dominion over. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be good stewards. I'm saying we shouldn't listen to the hysteria that people have in place to try to get us into a state of fear. That's what I'm saying, because God's word, which by the way is settled in heaven, says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth. And it abideth. You feel better? Because I sure do. Okay, verse 91. They continue this day, according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Amen. I could have wrote that verse. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Okay, the next letter is the letter M, name, I mean. It's like our M. It's the number 40. Here's a mem. It means an... The symbol is an ocean or a lake, okay? The Hebrew word mime, it means water. Reminds us of John 4:14. I'm right there, you don't have to turn. John's got big chapters. 4:14, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So water that is drunk usually refers to Jesus Christ. Water that is living water, flowing water, moving water, usually refers to the Holy Spirit. Here's something to consider from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12, one of my favorite chapters in the book of Isaiah. Jeremiah, I'll get there. You don't have to turn again. Isaiah chapter 12. Starting in verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, water drawn out of a well. Well is a picture all through Scripture of salvation. You'll see it here, and you see it anytime you see a well, it's a picture of salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. So water that's bathed in is a picture of the Word of God. Water that is drank is a picture of Jesus Christ. Water like living water is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Water from a well is a picture of salvation. And if you learn all those things, it's very helpful when you see the, like, the little... Because even in English, you know, you see a dove, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit, right? A lamb is a picture of Jesus Christ. An eagle is a picture of God, specifically divinity. The Holy Spirit uses these idioms, if I can use that. I'm not sure if I used that correctly, that word. Okay, back to the main section, starting in verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Boy, I hope it's yours. So I think of something, I try to work it out in my mind, I try to marry it up with other scripture, I try to pray through the word, when I listen to it, I'm trying to be prayerful, I'm trying to absorb it. A friend of mine was saying, he used to listen to it when it was on cassette tapes, he put it in his car and he'd drive and he'd kind of zone out and not be listening to it, and then it was something that would, bring him back to attention, and then he realized he was listening to it on a kind of a subliminal level. I don't know if you can learn it subliminally. Like if you play it all night long, I don't know, in the morning you'll have it memorized. I'll tell you this, it won't hurt you at all. If you're listening to it and you're not quite absorbing it, it's not like something that's going in and around your mental block, they used to flash something on the screen so quick that you couldn't read it, but your subconscious would perceive it, like drink Coke, and all of a sudden, yeah, I need a, you're in the movie theater, now I just need to go buy a Coke or something like that. They had that, it's against the law now, I don't know if anyone still does it, but advertisers, of course, did learn how to do that. So, but the Word of God has no subliminal, I got to go buy a Coke now, I was listening to the Bible. No, it's all good for you, whatever level you're absorbing it at, whether you're listening intently, whether you're reading it, whether you're skimming it, whether you're studying it, whether you're dissecting it, whether you're trying to unearth, great truths, every level, every stratosphere, even the most casual ones, won't harm you at all, and they're only good for you. I don't know how I got it. Oh, it's my meditation all the day, verse 97. Verse 98, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I don't want to talk about how I was smarter than all my teachers. I wasn't. I wasn't a Christian. Sometimes now those who would be my instructors, go ahead and open a Bible or something before you kind of come over here and try to tell me how to do marriage, how to live my life, how to, you know what I mean? Everyone has an idea how to live your life better than you know how to live my life, but you have more understanding than all your teachers. If His testimonies are your meditation. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Boy, I hope you've experienced that. Verse 104, through thy precepts, I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And finally, we'll end up tonight with the letter Nun. I know it looks like Nun. I've heard it pronounced Noon. I wonder if it's Joshua, the son of Nun. I don't know that, frankly, okay? It's number 50. It means an upright. That's the pictogram. You say it looks like a C backwards. It's an upright, and it means something that is straight up and down, like a, think of a plumb bob, something that we can set our, true. The word noon means to continue. It starts the word netzer, and Nazareth. And the reason I say that, you know, you'll read that he settled in Nazareth, that the words of the prophet might be fulfilled. And then you'll have probably a gloss in your Bible that takes you to, I think it's Numbers chapter 6, verse 1, the law of the Nazarene. No, he wasn't a Nazarene. He's saying, what do you mean Jesus was a Nazarene? Well, he didn't keep himself from dead people. Like a Nazarite's supposed to have a vow that keeps him from having anything to do with the dead. He can't drink wine. You say, well, what Jesus drank was grape juice. It wouldn't matter because you can't drink wine or grape juice or eat raisins or have anything to do with anything that comes from the vineyard. So he wasn't Nazareth. A Nazarite. Did he cut his hair? We don't know if he cut his hair or not. So on three counts, he wasn't a Nazarite, okay? When it says he lived in Nazareth, thus fulfilling what was spoken by the prophets, it means he was a Netzer branch from branch town. That's what Nazareth means. So we were there when me and Suze went to the Holy Land. I say Holy Land, I don't like that term. We were in Israel, okay? It's not holy, only God's holy. But we went to the places where Jesus was, specifically Nazareth. It's not an Arab, what's the word?
Non-Arab.
Yeah, it is Arab. It's not a Jewish town. It's in Israel, but everyone who lives there is Arab. And anyway, so we went to Mount Precipice. The one, and it's obvious. It's the only one around that's like this. If you fall off there, you're dead. Okay? They weren't going to stone him. They were going to stone him by throwing him off instead of just throwing a lot of rocks at him. Just throw him on the rocks and be all done with it. He wouldn't have survived, humanly speaking. So it was interesting to be there. Anyway, we were in Jesus' hometown, the town he grew up in. That was kind of good. Anyway, he's a Netzer, a branch, from Branchtown. You can look at that at Isaiah 53, not Numbers chapter 6, and get rid of the idea Jesus was a Nazarite. He wasn't on any way, shape, or form. Okay, noon, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Famous passage because of the song, probably several songs. But don't let the commonness, because you know it, don't let that throw you from that great truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. How many times have you seen tonight the wicked, they have their plan, and our prayer is that God delivers us in each time. And he will if we stick on the straight and narrow, the place that God has prepared for us. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Amen. Okay, so that concludes our study tonight. So next week, God willing, if he hasn't showed up and taken us out of here, we'll do the last eight sections of Scripture. I have some, I think, interesting stuff concerning the Aleph and the Tav, but that will be for next week. So let's pray. Father, we again, you know, our heart's desire is that we draw closer to you through this study in the book of Psalms. Lord, whether we know the music involved here or not, Lord, that heart would always sing to you praise, because you've been so very good to us all the time. Thank and praise you this time in the Word. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace.